took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from
a vision to support our brother and sister Christians
and those who are still seeking Jesus
by applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus
and his people,
and he wants us to strengthen his disciples
to get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome back to Glorious Day, the program that's trying to get the church ready for the coming revival and touch on points that are sensitive and needy right now as the Spirit leads us. I'm Pastor David. I'm with my co-pastor,
Pastor Barry.
And we continue to, we've retained our friend J-Dub 561 show, Jeff Williams. Sorry, his things are Jay Leno. I don't know why.
Whatever works.
Now you're Jay Leno.
Whatever works.
Whatever happens. Well, he's wearing a nice leather motorcycle jacket like
Thank
Jay
you.
Probably has. So it looks good on you, man. I don't know about looking on Jay Leno. But anyway, that's not really why we're here.
No, it's not.
I digress. Last time, our theme was Christianity is a journey of faith and discovery. And J-Dub came to share from a particular recent journey, a wilderness journey, as he refers to it, that he had, and what was going on and what's still going on because of that. But in picking up that theme, one of the things we identified is, you know, I don't think, I'm just going to say this, I don't have all the stats, but I don't believe in a lot of places pastors talk about the suffering part of the spiritual journey.
Sure.
They're into the fact there's a journey, and they want you to know that at the end of it, it's sweetness and light, some usually.
Gosh.
Yeah.
But you're not coming back next week if you say, hey, welcome to First Church of so-and-so, and you're probably going to have a lot of suffering and pain.
Yeah,
yeah. Come back next week.
Right.
Well, where is everybody?
Don't forget the tithe.
You know, we have opened up controversial points before, and we'll certainly do it again. But listen, if you listen to our listeners, please, if you go back to read the scriptures, go to any Old Testament or New Testament story where someone is having a spiritual growth moment.
Oh, yeah.
We can talk about Jacob wrestling with the angel.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk about Abraham taking his son up to the mountain ostensibly to sacrifice mm-hmm. him, which, of course, he didn't have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout God's people, when you see Daniel in the lion's den, you've got Ahab, Meshach, and Abednego. Not Ahab. What's his name? Those three guys,
Meshach
and Abednego, in the furnace because they upset the king. All of those things, those are spiritual journeys, and they all have suffering attached to them. And I think it's important that we tell our people, if you've been told that you have a journey, but it's all wonderful, and God will take, God doesn't want you to suffer. Well, you know, that's a load of you know what.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we're here to really kind of underscore that. And so J-Dub was talking about his wilderness journey. And what came up from the Lord he gave him when he had the solitude and time to pray, engaged in a period of suffering, right?
Sure, yeah. I mean,
talk about that. Not about what the core issue is, because that's very private and personal, but talk about the suffering, what it meant to you and where you are with it now.
Sure. So last week, if you're listening, we talked about, you know, oftentimes when God's teaching you a lesson, okay, in my experience, and from what I read in the scriptures, these lessons come from a trial, from a hard time, from a hardship. And, you know, when I was on my recent journey, I experienced, a little bit of solitude or a mm-hmm. lot of bit of solitude, you know, and I learned from that solitude how much community is important to us, and it gave me a greater and deeper appreciation for community, for human people. And I talked about, you know, I'm taking a 1-year hiatus off of Instagram,
mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, I just want to connect with human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be frank. I think social media is toxic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's good for society. I don't think it's good for us. It's engineered to give you dopamine. They're there to keep you there, to influence you, to manipulate you. And I haven't seen much good come out of it. So I'm taking a break from that. And, you know, again, this all stems. I just want to be in relationship with people that I'm actually in relationship with, not 3,000 people on Instagram that honestly I wouldn't know or talk to on a day-to-day basis. So that the concept of community is what came out of that solitude. And but if any journey, any lesson that I've learned in my life and my journey has come from a hard place, hard struggle. And my brother said earlier, you can't have testimony without the test.
Amen.
You know, and yeah, man. I mean, that's something that's not fun to say at church from a pulpit. And some churches will say it, but it's the God honest truth. God wants to teach us, and 9.9 times out of 10, it's the hard way.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, my father, not my heavenly father, my earthly father, because of his love for me, I'll say that, put me through some tests. He was an air conditioning refrigeration man, and he was going to make me one. Well, I have no mechanical ability whatsoever, but he said, take this screwdriver and lay it across that capacitor. Okay. And then I woke up.
Several days later, perhaps. Yeah.
And all he said was, are you going to do that again? I said, no. He said, good. It was a painful lesson. I never did it again. And sometimes God is like that. Here, Barry, try that. No, was that painful? Yeah, don't do that again.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, and the only difference might be in God's, because I've had those same experiences with the Lord, is that I've already set out to do my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
and in connection with God and in prayer and all, and he would say, "You can, you know, he would let me put screwdriver across the capacitor because I was going to do it anyway." And then he'd say, "Well, how was that?" And well, that was not very good. So don't do that again.
You know, you said something that you set out to do it your own way, or you're going on your own little journey. And man, I don't want to over spiritualize, you know, my experience, my recent experience, you know, but you know, I mean, that could have been a little bit too. Like, you know, I wanted to do this thing. I wanted to go out and, you know, I wanted, you know, and God's like, all right, how'd that work out for you? You know? And and if I'm being honest and humble about it, I mean, I'm sure that was definitely a huge factor in the whole experience. But, you know, we got to learn. And you're not going to learn unless you try.
Well, you know, I think we've all... If we've been on with the Lord long enough, we've all had at least one experience like that where we really, really messed up.
Mm-hmm.
We thought God was calling us, but we had built into that call several self-generated, you know, discussions and evidences that God was in it, but really God wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also, I'm glad you brought it up in that way, because when you talk about the journey of faith, and there, because we have free will, and there are times, and because of our humanity and our brokenness, we will do that. Yeah. Not that we might. Not a question of if, but when and how many times.
Yeah.
And that because of that, we get into... But see, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. You know, Jesus made sure his disciples knew that because he knew they were going to dig rabbit holes and then go down into them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I went to a church I called myself to. It was literally hell on earth for me and my family for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing there are people who do evil in the church, and I think all of them were in that church. Or it seemed to me, you know, for that season. And it was at well after that when God said, you know, I didn't call you there, but I was there with you. And he sent me to a great place to heal that he did want us to go to, and that was here in Stewart.
Was that fun? Dave?
No.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the reality. Like, if we're going to be mature Christians, come on, we got to wise up, step up, and say, we're going to take some lashings, you know, and Jesus took way more than we'll ever take.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing that we can do to compare to what he did on the cross. But we got to be willing to take our lumps and know that we're going to take some lumps. And even if we're doing it right,
mm-hmm. Well, you know, the big picture is the spiritual warfare going on.
Amen. Come on.
And, you know, sometimes we forget about that.
Yeah,
sometimes we get busy in our own little lane.
Amen.
And then we forget, oh, wait a minute, someone's gunning for my soul.
Amen.
And the evil one will do anything he can to too, and it's so subtle.
It's good.
Barry, I think that God wants you to do this. He does? Yeah. You know, and next thing you know, that little voice sounds so rational.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think that you're right. Yeah, I should do that for God, whereas God's got nothing to do with that.
Saying to Eve, you know, I think you ought to eat that apple. You ought to be like God.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that sounds like a good plan, you know. And of course, everything falls from there.
You know, it's funny. You said something. You said that the enemy can be so subtle. And actually, as I was driving here down the road, and I was just kind of observing people on the road and just thinking, you know, the enemy is so subtle that you can think you got it all figured out. You know, you're not an addict. You go to work. You pay your bills. You got the nice car, the nice house. You know, the boy, the daughter, the son. You know, you got swimming pool. It's not even about that.
Nope.
The enemy is so subtle that he masquerades the lie in what we would call just good society.
Yeah.
And we got, come on, I mean, this is South Florida. Everybody's here to live in vacation land, you know, and just live in the masquerade and let this life pass us by, excuse me, until it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then you've been distracted all your life, you know, and there's plenty of distractions. That's how, and one of the reasons the enemy gets his way is he knows how to distract people.
Well, you see preachers and pastors fall from grace, and you think, well, how did that happen?
Yeah.
That guy was a 24-karat Christian. How could that have happened? He's also a major league target. You know, before I was ordained, I had an archbishop tell me, you know, you really want to do this? Yeah. You're following through with it because you get a big target on your back. That target is something that Satan's going to shoot at. And any other person who's got a gripe against the church, you will be a target. And that'll, you know, that's the obvious. Now, the not-so-obvious is, again, that subtlety of Satan where he's going to have you drift a little bit to the left, a little bit to the left. Over there, maybe your prayer life begins to lighten up a little bit because you're just so busy. And, well, I'll pray more tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know? And next thing you know, it's been 2 or 3 days since you've said a prayer or uttered anything to God, then a week, and then a month. And then next thing you know, you're in charge of a group of believers, and you're not really prepared.
Yeah.
You're not really genuine. It's you're not doing anybody any favors, particularly God. But that happens all the time, and that's another, you know, Satan doesn't have a lot of tools in his tool belt.
No, but he uses the ones he's got.
The ones he's got,
for sure.
You know, for him to be able to whisper in your ear, because he wants to sound like God when he talks to you. You mentioned discovery. As a chaplain, I encourage not only my patients, but the staff to activate their prayer life.
Yeah.
More than the, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner prayer. And to seek that deep end of the prayer pool. And I'm a pain in the butt at work, David.
I can't imagine that.
Jay, I just don't let up on the gas pedal with that. Because if you don't listen to God, you will not recognize the voice of the evil one as evil.
Amen.
You've got to know God's voice. Some of the most impressive prayer warriors I know are in their 90s. They've been doing this for 90 years. And I walked in the room. They have a day room where they all gather for church. And they were already having church. But I was supposed to run church. They got ahead of me.
Yeah.
And they call me a young man, so I was happy about that. young man, we've already started without you, and we're garnering prayers. In fact, they pray for WCNO.
That's awesome.
But they've been on this journey a very long time. For those of you who can't see J-Dub, he's the kid in the room here with David and I.
Comparatively, yes.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, as you mature in your Christian life, And you're holding on to that joy that you first experienced, that first day, in your heart. It does cool a little bit after a while, But over a period of time, you begin to appreciate that love, that unchanging love. And if you're not praying, my friends, my dear friends, pray. Seek mm-hmm. constant prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a reason for that. Like I go back and say, if you're in the middle of a war, and you are, you need to be prepared. You need to be strong and not depend on your own intelligence or your own physical, emotional, or spiritual strength. You need to tap into the strength of Christ.
Yeah.
And all of you out there listening right now, take a moment now, unless you're driving, now. I'm not telling you to turn off the radio, but I'm telling you to tune into God.
Mm-hmm.
Say, Lord, I haven't prayed for a while. I want to reconnect. I want to know your voice. I want to know your will. There, I'm off my soapbox.
Amen.
Okay. Oh, that's a great soapbox, though. And what you did do is intro in a much clearer and, I want to say harsher, but I don't mean that in a negative, the whole issue that when a person comes to Christ,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
when they hear the gospel and say, I want Jesus,
oh,
and
yeah.
all that he offers, you immediately get a target on your back, and the enemy is already trying to line you up in his sights.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say this to scare people, but it's just true. And again, it's all biblical,
mm-hmm.
is that when you serve the Lord, then the devil is not happy with your service.
Mm.
And he will do whatever he can to be as subtle as he can. If subtle doesn't work, he's got other ways.
Yep.
But if you also remember that in Christ, he says he'll be with you always, which means, you know, he will strengthen you, guide you. The Holy Spirit will come in as it should, as the work of God to give you wisdom, give you authority to use the wisdom to use the authority, and to grow in your understanding of how the devil comes against you and the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, it's true. Often my wilderness journeys had to do with trying to get with God because the devil was on my back.
Hmm.
But here's the thing. Now, some people are saying, well, I don't know if I want Jesus or not. I mean, I'm hearing all this scary stuff. Okay. But the truth is that it's when you make a choice for salvation, when you make a choice for eternity. Now, you don't have to choose Jesus. I mean, you can choose the world, and that's the enemy's place. He's the prince of this world. And you can choose a life here that may be relatively, but not entirely empty of suffering, but then you have an eternity in hell.
Correct.
I mean, that's pretty much what the scriptures say. So,
well, the thing is, you know, like what you said, like, you know, people getting scared of accepting Jesus because they're hearing these horror stories.
Yeah.
Well, FYI, if you don't accept Jesus and you got the car and the pool and the two kids and the wife and the bills paid and everything, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
So you should be afraid about that.
Right.
Amen.
Don't be afraid about the enemy giving you a hard time or going through struggles or learning through life's experiences. Don't be afraid about, you know, fasting or praying or spiritual warfare. Be afraid about going to hell. Be very afraid.
Amen.
Because all the comforts of this life, whether you have nothing or you have a mansion, it's all going to be burnt up. It's all going to go and perish. And we are going to suffer eternal torment if we don't give our lives to Christ. So despite any discomfort that we may suffer and that I have suffered, first of all, I've learned from it and I've gained from it.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, it pales into comparison of suffering eternal torment forever and ever 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 and ever.
What an echo.
And even longer than that.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I just
want to... But you're right, and it sounds harsh again. There's no... And there doesn't need to be any bubble wrap packing in that message.
Well, the Bible is black and white. There's no gray areas there. And
you know,
that, maybe that's one of the reasons. There's a lot of reasons the world doesn't want the Bible out there.
Mm-hmm. But, come on.
You know, that bright light, just they're like roaches running from the light.
Amen.
Because they don't want it. They don't want to hear it.
Amen.
That's one of the reasons that
amen.
You know, when you're out trying to plant seeds and you get your teeth kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? The seed was planted anyway.
So let's say you're a Christian right now, you happen to tune in because God told you to, and you're listening to all this, and at the same time, you're hearing yourself say to yourself, hey, I'm going through that right now.
Yeah.
I'm in a wilderness period. I'm it seems like a spiritual journey, and I've got some issues that came up, and I'm suffering. I'm struggling with them. Well, mm-hmm. that's good. That's good, because God is taking you through that.
Mm-hmm.
And you will, God, Jesus, if you're a believer, if you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior and given your life to Him, take His promise, because He never gives up. He never fails to keep His promises, and that is, one of them is, He said, lo, behold, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And when He says be with you, He means just that. And you will not be left alone, Amen. Twisting in the wind in the presence of evil.
That's right.
Amen.
That He will give you what you need
Amen.
To not just survive, but to conquer.
Amen.
What does Paul say? We're not, you know, we're more than conquerors, actually, in Christ.
Amen.
Whatever comes against us, Jesus already has that. It feels horrible. But, okay, so it feels horrible. Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, boo-hoo for you. We've all been through that. Get through that, because yeah. on the other end of that horrible is for Jesus to say, I've always been with you. You know, you're not lost. You were lost. You came to me. Now you're found.
You're doing the work.
You're doing the work. I'm mm-hmm. not going to let you
and
go.
And that's why you got sweat from the brow. That's why you
right.
got pain and suffering, because you're doing the work.
Amen.
You go plow a field. It's not a vacation. It's
yep.
not sunshine and rainbows. It's sweat equity.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard work. It hurts the back.
Yep.
But the fruit is the fruit, the crop that gets yield after you've done the work. And we have to do the work as believers. We got to go plow the field. We're going to have to stand up in situations when we're being made fun of in the workplace
yep.
because we've let people know, yeah, I'm a Jesus follower. Yes, I love Jesus. And now you're no longer part of the cool bunch. Now you don't get invited out to cocktails after work,
yeah.
you know, because you're one of them.
One of them.
But you know what? So be it. Because somebody's looking at you, and secretly deep inside they're saying, I want to be one of them.
Yeah.
I want what they have.
I want what he has. I want what she has.
Well, you know, you can't give peace unless you possess peace.
Amen.
Yeah, exactly.
People pick up on holiness, and they pick up on peace, and they may not say right away, I want that. And secretly, they'll whisper it. But at some point, the dam breaks, and they just have to find Christ.
Amen.
The fact that they've made that statement is they're inching closer. There's so many people out there right on the fence.
Yeah.
Right on the fence. And then they're watching other Christians. And this is where we got to be careful, because you got to watch your behavior, your language, the decisions you make, because it's all preaching.
Amen.
Your life is a long sermon. You're preaching. And if they pick up that you're a phony, especially young people, I always look at him when I say young people.
I'll take it.
Because
yeah, take it.
I'll
man.
Take it.
Because they can spot a phony a mile away.
Yeah.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, that's what this generation, I mean, it's all phony. It's all fake. Instagram, mm-hmm. Facebook, social media, it's all fake. That's mm-hmm. all they know. And they know it, and they see it. And they're yearning for something real.
Amen. Yeah.
And if you are going to be a real devout follower of Jesus Christ, in your prayer closet, mm-hmm. behind closed doors, and in front of people, that realness is what's going to attract the next generation.
Amen.
And they're hungry, they're dying for it. And like I said, I said this episode, last episode, but social media is toxic.
Yeah,
it's killing the next generation, and they need real believers, real followers of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And we have to be those people for them.
Amen.
And mature Christians who've been through it enough to know what it looks like, come out to go into it and come out the other side, and especially for young people to be willing to nurture them into their own spiritual journey with Jesus. Which reminds me, we hadn't planned on this, but I think you're here for all three sessions. We're recording three sessions. We record three sessions at one time.
You got the job.
All right.
And,
all right.
You know, J-Dub was our first guest, Jeff Williams, our first guest.
Our first guest.
It's just.
As long as I'm not a gaff.
You're not a gaff.
Okay.
No, no. No, we already have somebody, the gaff master in Washington, D.C., who does a pretty good job.
But, here we go.
You're not pushing, I know. I didn't say who in Washington, D.C., but
could
anyway.
Could be anybody.
Could be
there.
Anybody. But just at saying. Any rate, we're on a track. It's a great track. God gave us this this theme of the journey in Christ, faith journey, discovery, wilderness, all of that, and learning, suffering, put it all together. And so, J-Dub, who'd had a recent experience and he's just shared a bit with us here and in the last episode. But now you've opened up, and we have a couple of minutes left, so I'm just going to say you've opened up to us an area of exploration, and that is just what I said, is young people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you have a ministry to youth. You were youth pastor in many churches, and mm-hmm. you still have a heart for that. And you might want to talk about how you've lived out that heart in hip hop and your own music,
and acting.
You want to talk about doing some of that, but because that's something coming out. The new mm-hmm. J-Dub is mm-hmm. the new and improved. But talk again in terms of your journey, but really specifically, they're going to start next time helping people. I want you to if you like what you're hearing, bring some friends yep. to the next broadcast. Right. 5:30 a.m. and p.m. on Sundays, a glorious day. And if you miss it, we have on demand. And you can go back to any of them over the last 2+ years and listen to them. But specifically, the ones we say with our broadcast on the 5th of February, last Sunday, today the 13th, and then next week on the 20th, those three all link together. It's Holy Spirit stuff. We did not plan this.
All right.
God did. So, having said that, we're gonna reach the end of this program and just encourage you to. And by the way, I want to say a little bit of a diversion here. We have an email address.
Yes, we do.
And we've had it now for about a year. Only one person has ever written to us. So you know, I don't know if you're not. We're not gonna. If you can use a pseudonym for crying out loud, we're not gonna. You know, track down your website or whatever you're coming from. We just want to hear from you. It's gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. It's gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. And we just love to hear from you. Okay? Just let us know you're listening. It'd be nice.
Yeah. You know, we'll take criticism. We'll take new ideas. We'll take new concepts. You just let us know.
And you don't even have to write. Just send an emoji. I mean, I don't care. You know. Well, Barry, would you close us tonight?
Holy Father, we are indeed on a journey.
Jesus, thank you.
As we explore what we've learned in our journey, give us the strength to never complain. Give us the faith to see it through. Let us know that you will always, always be by our side in the darkest of times. Lord, watch over our families, protect our families and friends. Use us as an instrument of your peace, yes, but also use us as an instrument of this gospel, that we may bring more people to the foot of the cross for that intimate moment that'll change their life forever. Through Christ we pray, amen.
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 God bless y'all. Come back and visit with us next week.
Good night, Tom.
Good night.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished.